Now, an interesting thing about the readings today is that essentially they're all about the same thing, just in different ways. They all talk about living in faith. They talk about proclaiming the resurrection. Even the psalm talks a little bit about resurrection if you look hard enough. But this morning, let's take a look at the Gospel of John, the reading we just heard. So following his resurrection, Jesus appeared to some of his most important disciples on the first day of the week. You know, in church, we generally hear that sort of statement during the Easter season especially, and we accept it without any question. Following his resurrection, Jesus appeared to some of his disciples. Perhaps our easy acceptance is because we're used to hearing it. You know, just like we have an automatic response to "Alleluia, Christ is risen." But when you think about it, both of those are extraordinary statements to make, given Jesus' torturous execution. Putting ourselves into the shoes of those around Jesus back at the time of his death, imagine their initial doubt, their shock, their amazement. So according to the Gospel of John, Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene just before the passage we read, and commissions her to proclaim the resurrection. "I have seen the Lord," she says to the disciples. "I have seen the Lord." And their immediate response is to do what? To hide in a room and not tell anyone else. They hide there for fear of being arrested or worse, and perhaps because they don't quite believe her. They apparently aren't very excited. And then, as we heard just now, Jesus appears to them, saying, "Peace be with you." They must have recognized him and were startled and perhaps a little afraid. So Jesus reassures them. Jesus then shows them his hands and his side, and they rejoice, seeing the wounds led to belief for them. Think about Thomas for a moment. Actually, and this is a little bit of a dangerous experiment, but think of yourself as Thomas, as if you were in Thomas's shoes. I know you're not there. You don't have the fear of being arrested. So when that happened with the other disciples, Thomas wasn't there. And when he shows up, he doesn't believe the story of Jesus' resurrection and appearance told to him. That, of course, is the second time for him to not fully believe, given Mary Magdalene's initial telling, so now he's heard the story twice. And he even has conditions before he'll believe. He says that he must touch the wounds in Jesus' hands, put his hands into Jesus' side to believe the resurrection. He wants hard evidence. You know, later in the story, Jesus eventually uses Thomas as an object lesson about belief. But let's think about Thomas's history for a moment. In the Gospel of John, Thomas is shown to be a realist. You might even say that he's a resigned realist. Resigned. Not that he quit. For example, we met Thomas when Jesus was planning to head to Judea to raise Lazarus. And the disciples were trying to talk him out of it, since it was a dangerous territory for Jesus. Thomas eventually agrees, but says, and this is the resigned part, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Later, when Jesus is talking about his impending death and his ascension into heaven, it's unlikely that the other disciples understand what Jesus is saying, but they all remain silent. But not Thomas. He speaks up and says, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Perhaps a more exact translation for us might be him saying, well, Jesus, actually, I have no idea what you're talking about. He's a practical person. He asks tough questions. He says what others are likely thinking. So maybe we shouldn't be so surprised at what happened in our reading today. So a week later, Jesus appears again to the disciples, this time, of course, with Thomas present. And Jesus reassures them, and especially Thomas, by saying, peace be with you. Then he specifically speaks to Thomas, telling him to touch Jesus' hands and his side. Thomas sees the overwhelming evidence of Jesus' resurrection. He sees the overwhelming evidence of Jesus' humanity. He senses the real presence of Jesus, not just some specter or some nightmare. This isn't a ghost. He's won over with hard physical evidence, and he says, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God. More on that in a minute. Then, of course, Jesus says to Thomas that he has believed only because he has seen, and that those who believe without seeing are blessed. And that, of course, sounds like a shot at Thomas, doesn't it? But it feels more like advice to those of us who come after the disciples and after Jesus is no longer physically present. Faith is required to believe in someone and something you haven't seen with your own eyes or touched with your own hands. And the gospel writer, using the narrator's voice, confirms that. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. And then the important phrase, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Now, to use a contemporary term, of course, many preachers have thrown Thomas under the bus for his refusal to believe without hard evidence. But it feels like his need for reason and evidence is what makes him human, even in the presence of God. It's hard to blame Thomas. He was asking to see at least what all the other disciples already saw. And especially in the time of his crisis and danger, he wanted to see a solid sign about what he was risking everything for. Thomas also is following in the footsteps of others who didn't believe without seeing evidence. The general pattern is this: one person encounters Jesus and comes to believe in him. Then they share their experience with the next person. And that next person expresses some reluctance without hard evidence. And so on. So, for example, in the Gospel of John, Andrew tells Peter. Philip tells Nathanael. Nathanael is the guy you might remember who said about Jesus, nothing good has ever come out of Nazareth. And then 2 seconds later, he's a follower of Jesus after he sees him and speaks with him. The Samaritan woman at the well tells her fellow villagers, telling them to come and see Jesus. This is the guy who might be the Messiah. And they say, well, let's come and see. And then they do. The interesting thing about all these people, of course, is after they come to believe, they all act as if they made the discovery themselves. Something physical or visual pushed them to believe. But back to what Thomas says and does when Jesus shows him his hands and his side. Thomas doesn't touch. He simply says, my Lord and my God. Interesting thing about that phrase is that it's the only time that anyone in the Gospel of John says that Jesus is God. Thomas has gone from being a doubter to being the most perceptive of believers. His faith has grown. As I suggested a bit earlier, Thomas also is us. Especially in our age of science and reason, the age of the Enlightenment, We too look for evidence for our belief. And sometimes our belief declines, and it's only after seeing more evidence that our belief returns. And often when it returns, it's even stronger. One could perhaps argue that Thomas could be the patron saint of Anglican theology. So one concept in Anglican theology is something called the three-legged stool. The three-legged stool. Two of the three legs are scripture and tradition. Our faith is based on the scriptures and on what the church has done before us and what the church teaches us. But the third leg of that stool is the leg of reason. Reason. Faith is not an automatic given. Instead, we think about our faith in context, in the light of logic. Not in terms of what is convenient or simply contemporary, but in terms of what makes sense to us, given what we know, what in the context of what has been revealed to us. So reason tells us that we need to look at the Bible and our faith not in two-dimensional terms, but in three dimensions. In that 3D view, we look also at the heights, the depths of those who have gone before us, the heights and depths of the insight of the writers of the Bible. Unlike in a 2D view, where perhaps we would view the Bible exclusively and tradition as being instruction manuals that must be followed blindly. Hundreds of years ago, the translators of the King James Version of the Bible called it a fountain and well of truth, a fountain and well of truth, a place that feeds and nurtures our faith, not a place that is our faith. So to increase our faith, we look around us for signs of the risen Jesus. We won't literally see the wounded and risen Jesus, but we will see Jesus in others. Those who love their neighbors in ways that are sometimes unimaginable, in little miracles that happen daily, in big miracles. Our faith might decrease in times of difficulty or when we encounter bad things. Thomas didn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead, especially in a time of persecution, both for him and his fellow believers. Or perhaps we lose faith when confronted with death, when confronted with disaster. But then we see some evidence of Jesus present among us. And then we think it through. Our faith eventually grows strong again, perhaps in new ways. So what do we need to do? We need to watch for signs of the risen victorious Christ in the world around us, to make sense of those signs, and then to believe.